prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. In name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we give thanks for those moms that are with us today. Praise the Lord. It's also a great idea to take them out to lunch, men, you know, like that. Something special. Maybe even reach down into that special cache of chocolate to share with the moms. That would be really great. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I had to mention chocolate early because I could not find chocolate in any of the lections today. So I had to do something with that quickly because there's some exciting stuff here. Exciting. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. We're still in Easter season. Now, part of that has been that in place of the Old Testament, we've been reading through some of the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts. And today we're with Paul in Athens. And Paul is focusing on the resurrection, a constant theme in his preaching. It's a constant theme because it means the whole world is changed. Amen. We heard early in Easter from Father Brad that we have a Christian karaoke. Was that what it was, Father Brad? Oh, okay. Kyriake. Oh, Kyriake, not karaoke. Kyriake, the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is the resurrection day. And so that's why we meet now on the Lord's Day. So, the awesome God who we've sung about this morning, the indescribable God, has been working, and he's worked in the life of Jesus to recreate things. Okay? He has accepted the work that Jesus did, and not only that, he has overcome death by this resurrection power. Amen? So we don't need to fear that stuff anymore. Because Jesus is the first fruits of the new creation. And he's overcome death. And God has reworked his little body with like unbelievable power to change that. And he wants to change us as well. Amen? This is the hope that we have in us. This is what we need to be ready to share. Paul is ready to share that all the time. We see that here in the book of Acts today. Paul doesn't visit, though, every city in the Mediterranean basin. He goes to specific cities, usually cities that have a synagogue. Okay? So he's got two reasons to go there. First, he wants to go to Jews and announce the fact that the scriptures have been fulfilled. Yay! But there's also Gentiles at those synagogues who have been considering the claims of the one true God. And, of course, he feels that the Lord has shown him that that's to be his ministry, to reach out specifically to Gentiles and to bring them a wild and great message of the indescribable God and what God wants to do in their life. Now, today we find ourselves in Athens, of all places. They have nice desserts in Athens. Praise the Lord. I've checked that out. That baklava stuff is really very good. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But he's not there for desserts. And And the problem is, the church is not doing real well in Athens. It's a very small synagogue, Jewish synagogue. It's a very small church. And we need to discuss why. Athens is full of idols, more idols than you can count. They have festivals and feasts every other month. Zeus, Dionysius, all these feasts in which people are renewing their attachment to the idols, not only the idols, the spirits behind the idols. So Athens is a very dark place, a very, very dark place. And it's the kind of place where you need lots of prayer, lots of fasting to break through that. Now, are we disappointed because the Apostle Paul, kind of the epitome of preachers, okay, doesn't do real well in Athens? I mean, we only get a couple disciples coming out of this thing? No, we can't. You have to remember that even Jesus had a difficult time in Nazareth. People's hearts were hardened. He could do no major miracles there because they really didn't want to hear what the Lord was speaking to them. So even Jesus had rough worship services now and then. Amen? This is not going to be a rough worship service, okay? Amen? Praise the Lord. It's good to see those smiling faces out there. We have to come against the spirits of idolatry. What does it mean? It means that men have forsaken the one true God and turn to physical representations and spirits that are opposed to the one true God. They're putting their faith in mankind and men's activities and men's thoughts rather than worshiping the one true God. Now, this preaching is not unknown to the Gentiles. They've heard these thoughts before, but they're so integrated into the life of these festivals and idols that they can't break from them. We need to be praying as we are prepared to share our faith and what the hope of the Lord is in us. We also need to be praying for the people that we talk to and praying that the Lord would lead us to people that we need to share with. Paul goes to one other Gentile city. The city is Lystra, chapter 14 in the book of Acts, where a miracle happens. And usually, a miracle opens people's minds and hearts to what the Lord has to say. This is a Gentile city. I don't think there's a synagogue in Lystra, but as Paul is speaking, he sees a man who he believes has faith, a man who has been lame from birth, and he tells that man to stand and be healed. And he is. The Gentiles at that point think the gods have visited them, that Zeus and Hermes have appeared amongst them. So they're ready to take Paul and Barnabas and like sit them up on a big chair somewhere and have a party with them. And of course, they're ready to tear their robes and do sackcloth and ashes, of course, after the barbecue, of course, right? But they said, you don't worship us. We're here on behalf of the indescribable, awesome God. You need to put your faith in him. Now, when the lions were on the missionary field, the Lord was wonderful to us. We were able to see a miracle happen, which opened hearts and minds. Shawnee and another lady or two at church went to visit a lady who was severely depressed. She couldn't get out of bed. She had begun to lose weight, etc. All those things that happen in that kind of case. These ladies prayed for her, and there was a remarkable recovery. She was able to get out of bed. She was able to go do things that she hadn't done for a couple months. People had known that she was in this state. They were not expecting her to continue living. And all of a sudden, she's walking there, shopping, talking, and doing all kinds of stuff. This opened hearts and minds immediately. It was like there was a resuscitation of this person in their midst. Okay? Where the chains that had bound this woman were loosed, and she was set free by the power of Jesus. And so people immediately wanted to know, what's going on? What are you doing? Well, a couple ladies from the church came to me and prayed for me. Where is this church? They said, we want to go get prayer at that church. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We kind of had a miracle this morning, Gethsemane Chapel. 2 weeks ago, a lady had been diagnosed with something on her thyroid. And she came to report this morning that when she went back to get another, whatever they do, it was totally gone. It was totally gone. The Lord is working today. Amen. The Lord is working in our midst because he's awesome and indescribable. And so this is who Paul is talking to these Gentiles about, who have misplaced their trust in men and earthly things, not in God. So we need to be praying. We need to ask the Lord to remove chains that people are bound in so that they can hear what's being told to them. And we need to pray for our friends that the Lord would not just use us, but send other people to tell the same message about God and what he wants to do in their life. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul would preach in all these synagogues. Sometimes he'd preach for 3 or 4 weeks, sometimes 6 weeks, and then usually he'd get run out of town. That's our friend Paul. Of course, we don't want to get run out of town, okay? But Paul, if we've heard him preaching this morning, he is pretty clear with the Athenians. They don't know everything they should. They're worshiping all these idols, but there's one true God that they even call the unknown God. And he says, I'm here to tell you about that God and what he's done. He's not like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by men. But the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. So once again, Paul is back to Jesus, what God has done in Jesus, that Jesus has, through a life of righteousness, overcome sin. He has offered himself as an oblation, an offering, a sacrifice to take all the sin of the world on himself. And God has said yes to Jesus through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Amen? We're still in Easter. This is our Easter story. This is the hope that we have in us that we need to be ready to share with our friends. Praise the Lord. So Paul is back to the resurrection. He's focusing on Jesus in the context of an awesome God who loves everyone and has sent Jesus to be a blessing for them. Alleluia. Christ has risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.